Okay, it is 6:05, and this is the June 24th. Okay.
Yes.
June 24th, meeting of the Westland Public Safety Advisory Board. Call this to order. I'm Tom Friedland. I am the chair of the board. To my left is...
Chris Duncan, recording secretary, member of the board.
Judy Wickman, board member.
Stephen Myers, representative of Walton Valley Fire Rescue.
Michael McGrath, board member.
Ron Hosley, Westland PD.
Okay. I believe we have a quorum. The good sergeant has just told us that he has an engagement that he has to leave here in about 25 minutes. So let's move through this as quickly as we can and see if we can get it all done before he has to run off.
Do you want to just have him do his update before he leaves?
Well, let's get some of the basic stuff out of the way, that like the agenda. We have an agenda that we need to approve. Does anyone have any additions or changes to it, other than upping his slot for the PD comment?
I move we let the officers early.
Okay.
That's well, really that's, nice. That's sweet.
That's Thank fine. You. Are there any other changes to the agenda? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is it seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have minutes from our last meeting that Chris has graciously turned into a beautiful document.
Thank you, Chris.
Has anyone listened to the recording or read the minutes? Have we got any changes, corrections, modifications, or other things to say about it? And if not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved. So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving on, we will slip our staff updates from Westland PD up to the next spot on the agenda.
Staff updates.
Or anything else you'd like to say
department
about the department?
Update.
Sort of staff updates. That's a good place to start. We have three recruits down at the academy. They will be back here, I think, August 10th. They graduate August 8th. Then they'll start their FTET process, which is, 6 months of training, basically, before they end up being a solo officer on the road. Still on probation until they get off probation. We are picking up a lateral transfer from Oregon City. I think it's a 14-year veteran who's coming over as a supervisor. I've met him. A lot of our guys have met him. He's a really good dude, but he wants to make the move to Westland PD. So that's what he's doing.
Is he currently a supervisor?
He's currently an officer.
Okay.
But he's on their SWAT team. He's a really solid dude. He's, from what I see, he's going to be a good fit here.
Okay.
He's not overly macho. He's not underly macho. He's just kind of level-headed and straight down the line. A lot better shape than I am. We're also picking up somebody else. Let's see. Oh, we're doing an internal promotion. Our detectives get promoted sergeant. So Alistair Bunch getting promoted. It's going to leave us with zero detectives until we just opened up a process to bring in a couple lateral officers, 1 to 2. So plan is hopefully that we'll pick up somebody that has detective experience, a lot of experience that we can maybe use in that position to train somebody else. Other than that, it's running pretty well right now. Everything's good. Everybody's getting along. People like us. At least they seem to like us. They don't like us for faking it. Really good.
That's big. I've seen a lot of cruisers out stopping people.
We've been pushing the proactive patrol.
Nice.
Not necessarily tickets, warnings and tickets, whatever they deem is necessary, but... a lot of warnings are being given out, so hopefully they make an impact. We'll also do some traffic schools, fix-it tickets, things like that. But there is a lot of presence right now because we actually have staffing for once in a long time, so it's working out.
It's a lot of speeding, I see.
There's a lot of speeding, a lot of aggressive drivers.
Yeah. Cutting people off.
People on phones talking, making me crazy.
On phones talking,
driving at 15 miles an hour, making
you talking hang
up the phone and drive.
It's amazing.
People parking in the
you'll see me hanging out the window of my car yelling at them. Then you know to pull them over. Don't pull me over.
I understand. no, I think that's, unless you guys have any.
Obviously, they don't speak sign language because my signs aren't working.
Think of anything else? Bill Beavers was a big deal for most people. He was the guy that was standing down at Cedar Oak and Highway 43.
Yeah, what?
He's finally moved along. He's got a nationwide following on Facebook. He's got some connection with a library somewhere.
What's the point of his standing there day after day, week after week?
Just being nice to people.
So he's not taking a survey or doing a study or anything?
I got to take this call. I'm sorry. Kyle?
While we were in the midst of that segment, we had another member wander in.
Nope.
We'd be so kind to...
Mark Gilbert.
Supposedly. Okay. So, anyways.
So he was just enjoying life.
He was just hanging out. While he was hanging out here, we had lots of phone calls. Some people really liked him. Most people thought... Well, not most people. I would say it was about half and half. People thought that we were letting the homeless move into the city of Westland.
Oh.
So, anyways, he ended up having a major heart attack. He was hanging out to go to the parades in Portland, but he didn't like the homeless there because they're too aggressive for him. Mm. So he hung out here until the parades got over. He hung out a little bit longer, and then he's moved down to OSU. He wants to see a Beavers game. I guess that's part of his nation. He came from Florida.
So he's on the sidewalk all the time. Where did he sleep at night?
We don't know.
Oh, wow.
He didn't accept any help from us. He wouldn't tell us where he was sleeping. We didn't put a tracker on him because we're not quite that advanced in the world yet.
Well, we're not.
He woke up every day clean. Western he came out clean. He was shaving. He was always in a good mood. He just wanted to spread friendliness.
Interesting.
Never asked for anything. Didn't want anything.
He could have chipped him like a dog.
That's what I'm talking about. What was his name again?
Bill Beavers.
Bill Beavers.
Right.
Okay. Shifting back to the balance of the agenda, we'll come back to Stefan for TVFNR in a moment. Old business, any updates on disaster preparedness at your neighborhood and or anything else?
Well, Amy and Michael and I have been trying to get together to talk about giving them some training, and Amy's schedule is crazy, I guess, so... I just gave Michael a packet that I put together for both of them of the workbook and the documents we give from FEMA and Red Cross and so forth, and just some of the basic information. And I suggest that they read that in their own time, go over the workbook, which is pretty self-explanatory, and then we get together for coffee and talk about if they have any questions or they can call me or whatever. So the next meeting that I have, I want them to come to, but I don't have one scheduled at the moment. Okay. I did talk to the Rosemont people. Very, very few people showed up to that meeting, and ironically, it was at the Adult Center at the same time City Council was meeting in the big room, the same time somebody was recording a radio show, and the same time the veterans were meeting. It was insane. You couldn't find a parking space. It was a gorgeous night. Nobody came, so... Rosemont, I'm going to give up on that for a few minutes, but we're still working on Arbor Cove. About 100 houses still want to do this, and it's just taking forever to put together. That's my update.
Okay. Anything else on disaster preparedness?
I have something follow-up, but I wanted to hear Stefan Myers.
I'm sorry, what about?
I want to hear Stefan Myers.
Oh,
stuff
okay.
For I'm going to put mine under like new business or whatever.
Oh. All right. I did get a hold of Karen McCoy, our contact with the Teen Driving Street Survival Program. Our two people did present. They have already filled the next class. They're holding her three places for us, but I figured that can be something of our tool to get a little exposure with that. So there are three spots being held for the October 20 class. The school year starts the week before Labor Day. So we will have literally a month to expose the student, put it out, make a selection, give them enough time to process the paperwork, and hopefully we can get some good numbers of applicants this next go-around. I don't know if the Youth Advisory Board will have formed and had any meetings in that first month of school or not, but Our SRO has been helping push it at the school. The school is not adverse to any of this. We just need to get the word out, and maybe through some other sources besides just the contacts at the school. I know we've talked about doing something with the Westland Tidings, but we've never really gelled it together. And I don't know if we did anything to get it onto the city Facebook or other social media systems, which might be a good option to consider as well. And I'm going to start, when I finally get a window of time, which should be this week, to start kind of drafting some language for how we'll promote that for the upcoming school term.
Okay.
That's it on teen driver safety. Now it moves on to new business. Did you want to bring yours up now, or you want Stefan to say something?
I think this is the right spot that Stefan can respond. In previous meetings of this committee, we've talked about fire safety being maybe a tangential focus of disaster preparedness. I've been to the opening of Station 55, met with Lieutenant, is it Erickson? Blanket on his name, who was there at the firehouse when our Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association had a meeting there. And one of the issues that came up at the work meeting of the city council last Monday was fire safety. And it came up in the context of TVFNR doing a survey of the White Oak Savannah and saying that the FireWise recommendations for the White Oak Savannah indicate, and I'm repeating what was said in testimony, if you have corrections, please let us know. Mm-hmm. But the testimony given in the city council work meeting was FireWise is 100 feet or 100 yards, 100 somethings units away from the back of the houses that border the White Oak Savannah, and the grass is apparently 6 feet high in some areas. And so the city is going to be taking a new renewed focus and look at its parks and at fire safety. And we have the FireWise program, which is used in the Barrington Heights neighborhood because of their exposure to the 205 freeway and fires along there coming up towards Barrington Heights. So the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association met last Tuesday, the day after the city council meeting. And we have in the middle of the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association a 17-acre open space. It is not a right-of-way. It is not a city park. It's open space. But it is in the core center of us and Robinwood Neighborhood Associations. And if a fire starts there with all of the fuel that's in that open space, which the city is not managing at all, according to an email from Ken, the Parks Department, and his associate, who's also named Ken, and we have that in email, that they are not doing anything but open space currently. It's not in the city's budget. It's not part of their look and see what's going on. We think this is a priority. And Mayor Russ Axelrod, who was at the city council meeting on Monday, was also with the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association on Tuesday and said he's going to see if the city can raise this issue of fire safety to a new level. At that Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association meeting, I raised the issue that our committee here has discussed fire safety as a concern in the context of disaster preparedness, public readiness, map your neighborhood. And we did not, unfortunately, agree to spend the monies in the account of Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association on hiring a contractor to start to mitigate the fuel supply in that open space, which is 17.7 acres.
Where is that?
That's it's along Trillium Creek, and there are maps that you can actually look. But basically, it goes from the back of TVFNR House 55 down the hill along Hidden Springs, between Hidden Springs and Pimlico, and goes along the Palomino Trail and the Trillium Creek Trail. The point being here that the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association, since we could not get a majority vote to support doing some action to correct the situation on fuel being removed from the area, has did a 15-0 vote and asked to have TVFNR contacted by me to speak to them about doing a survey assessment of this open space the way they did for White Oak Savannah's Park. And we want to have Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association become a FireWise community. And the president of Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association is going to reach out to the Neighborhood Association Presidential Council about having all the community of West Lynn become FireWise Neighborhood Associations. Because the example that was brought up in that meeting and was brought up at the city council meeting, and my testimony's on video there somewhere, was the Paradise Fire. And how that's something that's sitting in the core in the middle of the city just waiting to erupt. So I just wanted to make sure that since this is public safety advisory, we don't officially have an arm. We have teen driver safety and we have Map Your Neighborhood. But I wanted to bring this before this committee that this is kind of, yeah, as a result of me sharing what's been discussed here before, as a result of the city council saying, wait a minute, multiple councilors said, wow, fire is really this big an issue. We need to raise this up. And so now I want to stop sucking all the oxygen out of the room and have Seth talk to us about what was done with White Oak Savannah. What's a FireWise neighborhood? Is it a program we can, as a public safety advisory board, say thumbs up? We think all neighborhood associations should do it. That's what I'm proposing this committee consider.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, Seth, are you in any position to comment on Mark's?
So I was going to play that back with Stefan.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Not the first time. So I know our captain's been engaged on it a little bit more than I have, so I have some relationship to it, but not all the details. Where to start? Because you got a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
So first with White Oak Savannah, as I understand it, first was they didn't necessarily do a survey. I think a couple of our firefighters went out and gave advice on a couple of things that could be done, but eventually it was, you know, a volunteer effort that did some fuel mitigation within the area. And then we have recently, because it was raised again as far as concern of a couple areas that looked like they were getting fuel buildup, but worked with the city in understanding what they had for a fire break and some of the other things that they were doing. So that was the latest check-in on it. And I think that original, one of our firefighters doing a walkout with them was, I want to say, 5 years ago, maybe four. So that's where that landed. Then also we did some work with Barrington Heights, as you noted. The FireWise community program is really good. It's a great program. It usually happens within more rural communities in which they don't have some of the robust fire response services that we do here. And that would be one thing that I think is good to discern from a community like Paradise and some of those other communities that don't have a large presence of and a robust fire service within that community. Here you've got three stations that can respond pretty quickly to make sure a fire doesn't get to a certain level. And then the last part is, so we've supported with Barrington Heights being a FireWise community. It is a commitment of that community to take on their own fuel suppression, to do some of the things that it takes to continue that program and be a part of it and upkeep it. And then finally for that neighborhood, I actually had brought that up in a meeting where we were sitting with, I'd say it was either Lance or Ken, in just talking about understanding those properties, and you well know, city owns them, but don't have, as I understand it, the staffing currently to maintain and mitigate the fuels within those areas, much like they would a park. But they were very open to partnerships with the local communities and neighborhoods to work on fuel mitigation, whether it was solve the community themselves or some blend of, again, which we would support. Does that sufficiently answer what you were thinking of?
I think so. And the only thing is, I just want to be clear. So what we were told in the testimony given at the city council's work meeting on Monday, and that's, again, it's on video, is...
Who was the testimony by?
By the president of White Oak Savannah Neighborhood Association, Ed Schwartz.
Ed, yeah.
Yeah, and he said that I don't know who he said, but he said members of TVFR came out and just did this in June. So this is not an old survey of the situation, but it's a current, like in the last month, survey.
They had concerns, so we did go check it out as far as what our response would be. I mean, so it was looked at.
Okay.
I guess I'm just thinking survey is a little more
involved. Is there a term to
is there a right term to use to describe this?
What it is
consultation
that they did.
Consultation.
Yeah, and to be clear, it's kind of a it's not a professional service per se that we do.
Right.
It takes a firefighter and somebody who has a good knowledge of wildland fire suppression, which isn't
not everybody.
Not everybody. We have lots of different skill sets within our department. So it is one of those things that they can come out and just give advice around. And in this case, you know, they're also, it's a little interesting because you're giving advice to the community that lives next to the property that's owned by the city. So
this would be simply an advisory encounter rather than make it something that sounds formal, structured, like a survey.
Yeah.
This is what might be an effective way of controlling.
Here's how fire moves. Here, how the fire ladder would work into a canopy that would be more concerning. Thus, here's the things that you could mitigate.
Okay.
Just want to discern from being like a professional service that, you know,
so
was contracted out.
Despite the fact this is an advisory in terms of its construction and its structure, the city councilors that asked about it and got further follow-up about what was done raised and elevated this to a priority, and it wasn't even a topic of discussion on the agenda for Monday's meeting.
Okay.
And it became a topic, and they said, this is a new priority, we want new information, we want to follow up on this, and we think that fire safety in the city needs to be elevated to a new level of investigation and discussion. So it might not have been intended to go this direction, but as a result of the very comprehensive way it was described at the city work group meeting, it's become that.
So, question. So was that a directive then to the parks director?
Yes.
Okay.
Who was present
okay.
in
okay.
the meeting.
Okay, so I get...
Ken was present in the meeting and said, okay, counselors, you're instructing us. The city manager will then instruct us. She was Elaine. She wasn't
Eileen.
Yeah. She wasn't there.
Okay.
But new attention to this. So Ken, who was the Parks Department director, was in email thread, which I have and can share with the committee, saying there's over 600 acres of open space, which is not, to my understanding, city property.
Okay.
It's open space that is kind of. It's like unincorporated county property in a sense of that it's not owned by the city, it's not owned privately. It's under the management very loosely, because if they take it on as the city, that's a whole lot of space for them to be liability to. And so they said that they told us in Hidden Springs Neighbor Association, it's not officially theirs and they're not responsible for it. Part of what was on the agenda for the city council's meeting was right-of-ways. Like your sidewalk in front of you is a right-of-way, but you as the homeowner are responsible for your sidewalk. And they're talking about simplifying but broadening the definitions of right-of-way to make it clear that it's not just the sidewalk in front of your house, but it may be green spaces around your house will be right-of-way that you as a homeowner in Westland will be responsible for. And so I said, well, is this open space a right-of-way then? And the mayor at the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association meeting said, no, open spaces are different than right-of-ways, legally speaking.
So what would be the best way to bring TVFNR into this request that's being channeled?
Can I say something while you think about that?
Sure.
Having lived in an unincorporated part of Westland years ago near Peach Cove, mm-hmm. I had parked down that area, homeowners, once they got a formal, I don't even know who sent it, maybe a county person, this is years ago, a formal letter on somebody's letterhead that said, you own this property, you're responsible for any liability and fires, the city is not taking care of this. If trees are rotting and falling on somebody's house, you're liable. If there's a fire, you're liable. That scared the bejesus out of them, and they all started doing stuff like, you know, getting rid of snags and dead stuff. And it was the only thing that got them moving. And I can tell you from attending as many as I can of these neighborhood association meetings in the capacity of Matthew Neighborhood, they're very poorly attended. And you wouldn't get the word out as well as if you could find a way to get a personal letter to the people who own these pieces of land that may think, well, the city will come and help me out. And it's like, no, dollars on you. And once they realize, they may have to pay thousands of dollars, and there may be a horrendous loss of life and limb and flora and fauna. That got their attention more than anything. So I'm wondering, I'm just brainstorming, if there's any way that you could do that. Because TV and FNR is so busy, I can't imagine that they would be able to take the time to go to all these places. And
as I understand it, these are not privately owned lands.
Well, they're not private.
They're not privately owned lands. They're considered open space, similar to the parallel to unincorporated Clackamas County.
Oh, I thought, like, you know, this guy had 10 acres, and then there was open space on the edge of his property.
This is a huge...
All open.
It's where Trillium Creek Trail, Palomino Trail are located.
See you guys next time. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. So I just wanted to make sure that since this is a safety issue, this is the Public Safety Advisory Board, I don't want to speak beyond the board. I only spoke to the fact that we've talked about this before, but it may be something that neighborhood association presidents may be contacting us about. I wanted to give a little brief synopsis of what I witnessed and heard at the city's work meeting on Monday, and that neighbor associations like Hidden Springs are already saying, fine, if the way to get this to be addressed by the city, since the city says there's over 600 acres of open space in the region surrounding and in the city that they don't have any resources to address, and again, that's the email from Ken, then since White Oak Savannah was able to suddenly get the attention of the city council and therefore the Parks Department to address a park that had an issue, the way that citizens in the city that have open spaces nearby might be able to similarly get the attention of the city is by apparently the mechanism of, as Russ, the mayor, Axelrod, referred to TVFNR, the experts in this. Matter of fact, Ken from the Parks Department at one time in his testimony said, well, we can make an assessment, and the councilors and the mayor said, no, the assessment will be done by the fire experts, and that's in the video, I'm sure. And so TVFNR is the authority, that was the word he used. And that's who should be doing these assessments with neighborhoods, et cetera, like, and then again, the Barrington example came up. So that's why our neighborhood association, when we were voted down, spending money to reduce the fuel burden in the open space there, said, what can we do? Let's try and get TVFNR to consult, advise, survey, whatever word we put on it. And we want to become a FireWise neighborhood association. So I would follow up with our president of Hidden Springs Neighbor Association, or the vice president is Eleanor Wynn, I think is her last name.
Oh, yeah.
And she is the person who leads the SOLVE program to take ivy off the trees, et cetera. And she's very invested in this issue as well.
Okay. Real quick, to answer the question that was posed, especially if it was brought up to the city, and it sounds like that's where it's at, we're always a partner to consult and be available to that. So how does TVFNR get involved? That's the mechanism to get that request going, so that as they may request of us, we can provide whatever they're looking for and figure out how that works together. And then FireWise, I want to say we went through, it wasn't ODF, I think it was Forest Service.
U.S. Forest Service?
Yeah, because they're the, I can send you information on it if you want.
Okay.
But they're the ones that administer and work with the FireWise program. It's not a local one, it's on a much larger scale.
Okay.
So that's something we can just facilitate connecting your neighborhood association with, and then they can speak much more eloquently to the program, what it includes, and what they need to consider.
It sounds like we're using FireWise not as the formal program, but the model is that we
it's
want
a,
as far
it's
as
a,
getting an assessment, coming up with a strategy, determining who among the public and private players mitigate.
I think it's a shared, valued, representative authority program. It represents an authority,
yeah.
Product of the authority vested in TVFNR as professional fire.
Yeah. But as he was saying, that TVFNR don't run a FireWise program
per se,
under this, but they do a lot of these activities that have become to be known by whatever, whoever does or created this FireWise.
Yeah. It's open space, still bugs protocol. Somebody ultimately owns that land.
I'm just trying to figure out how to make sense of this
county,
on the record.
The state, nobody owns that open, that 600 acres?
We'd have to talk with the city again about it, but everybody seems to do this around the table.
There's a lot of no man's lands out there.
And this is 60. This is 60-degree angle slopes down to Trillium Creek.
Yeah.
So it is not easily fought with fire trucks and ladders people. It's very pitched, and it's very slick.
Exactly.
Thanks for making me aware. I didn't hear that yet. So...
I was asked to be the point person because of my role on this committee to reach out to you or to TVFNR in general.
Mike, that's where my question is, how do we get this thing moving, or what interaction needs to be made at this point to get TVFNR and the community, the city, or whoever involved, if Mark is the spearhead on pushing this forward?
So who asked you to bring it?
So... the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association president said, since you're on Public Safety Advisory Board and TVFNR has talked to the advisory board about this, and also president in the meeting was the mayor, Russ Axelrod. So I imagine that either the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association president or Mayor Axelrod would be the person I would ask you to be in contact with regards to these conversations.
Your inquiry is just... what pathway do we take to institute this?
Right, exactly.
We're not requesting it be instituted, but how do we... Who needs to talk to who to get the thing rolling?
How do we get it rolling?
But I can see that this fits very well within the parameters of a PSAB initiative, mm-hmm. just like our earthquake preparedness and our team mm-hmm. driving. You know, I can envision, you know, a map of all of these... places, and once you know we get them sort of analyzed, determine, color code them for, you know, this one will go up with a one lightning strike, this one has been worked, you know, and kind of mm-hmm. continue to monitor how. And I can see Mark, you just tearing this one like Judy does the earthquake one.
Well, the thing is, we just need to find out how that process is instituted.
Yeah.
So that we can then look at ways to maybe address other areas. We need to know the mechanism. And
yes.
I'm assuming you'll report back on that.
Hidden Springs is far more organized than most neighborhood associations. There's far more involvement and activity. I mean, there's somewhere only 3 people show up for the meeting. It's not a way to get a word out. But there's got to be a way.
There's got to be a way for us to do this. And I will certainly, in just personal conversations with those same folks, let them know that I've opened a discussion here, and that Stefan and others will be.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an important issue. I think something needs to be done, but we want to make sure it's done right. The right people are making the approvals and designating who goes where, and it's not a slipshod arrangement.
Yeah,
we know
and
what
then,
we're doing.
Well, Savannah got it. Well, Hidden Springs got it. Well, why didn't we down in such and such? You know, I mean, that's where
our liaison from City Council now is Julie Walters, and she was at the City Council work product meeting. And she was one of the ones who said, then fire needs to be elevated to be a new priority of the city. So
isn't she supposed to be attending these meetings?
There was a conflict with tonight's meeting and something else that was going on. Last month, it was because we changed which week we met because of the holiday. I don't remember what the hang-up is. I don't know what the hang-up was this time.
But that would be the good kind of, I mean, if she were here right now, she'd be involved in this conversation.
Exactly.
Right.
That would have been the other pathway by which we might have had this happen.
That's kind of an important
Okay. That's actually exactly what I was going to suggest, Tom, is that it would be really nice if we could connect with her, too, since we report, too, as a committee to the city,
yeah.
as a part of them, to understand what is city council directing, along with and in alignment with city staff.
She was the one who asked for city staff to respond to the council's request for an elevated prioritization of fire management and mitigation.
So it'd be nice to know where they want to go with it. So that
I think more than anything, what we have here is a back channel communication to let you know it's coming.
Sure.
And isn't there a new city's manager that's been appointed? I mean, a city emergency manager?
I know there was a selection process. I don't know if it's finished.
Oh, I thought they...
They may have been finished. I don't know.
That would have been a question for... That's a key person that would be involved in this.
Did the city decide to stay with the police department, or did they move it to...
We should have asked.
I don't know. More likely the captain had the info on it than...
It was moving to public works instead of being with the police department.
But I hadn't heard emergency that officially. That was just...
I heard there was a selection mechanism. What transpired, I don't know.
Well, whenever that person's in place, we need to involve him or her in this.
Okay. Definitely. Any other things from the fire department that we need to address?
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Any other tidbits from the fire department that you have for us?
Just a couple. One was we host a Portland Metro Fire Camp. It's for women from age 16 to 20. We want to encourage women to consider service within the fire department. So on August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we're going to be hosting that, so I just wanted to make you aware. On our website, you can sign up before July, I think it's 5th is the deadline. But again, if you know a young lady in your life that has an aptitude for service and is team-oriented, especially you know those that are in maybe athletics are always great fits, but we'll take anybody from any background. This is just a great opportunity for them to get exposed to the work that's performed as a part of the fire department.
You said that will be in July or August?
It's going to be in August.
Okay.
August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And we host part of that at our training center. But the applications, I believe, can be due on July 5th. So go to tvfnr.com to learn more about that.
And what's it called again?
It's called the Portland Metro Fire Camp. So we do it in partnership with Portland Fire and some of the other regional fire departments because this is a joint effort. We want to make sure that our... those that serve through TVFNR reflect their community, and the reality is right now it's a lot of guys, so we need to change that, and so this is part of exposing more people to that opportunity.
Nice.
July 5th was the deadline, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one was just two incidents that you may be aware of. We had a residential house fire June 13th on Mid Hill Circle. Luckily, they got a quick stop on it, and it was contained to that home. But that's just great to see. Again, that's one of the nice benefits of having the stations located as they are. We have great response times, which changed dramatically the course of how those can go. That plus early notification from people calling 911 right away when they see something are leading to a lot of fires that have happened, but going out really quickly, which we're excited to be seeing. The other one was we had a rescue on the Tualatin River. Ooh. There was a woman that was in distress and floating along in the Tualatin River, and our water rescue team, in great partnership with Westland PD, were able to get out there, rescue the woman, get her to shore, and get her the treatment she needed. So that was just with our water rescue team, as you saw at one of our recent meetings, great opportunity for them to get out. That was actually done from the shore, didn't even have to deploy the boat, so that's what we call swift water rescue. Essentially, you're just deploying lines and firefighters to help mitigate the situation.
But what date did that happen? What date?
That was June 10th. Thanks. That happened, in the Tualatin River. But those were the main ones I had. Otherwise, thanks for having Jeff from Clackamas Community College last year and great notes on ICS. That was a great capturing of that. But I hope you guys got some good stuff out of that.
Yeah, I really appreciated his chart. That made it easy.
Yes, it can be complicated.
No, but really, in fact, I have to say, every time now that I've seen something on the news of something happening, active shooter, you know, like there was or anything, I'm looking around wondering, okay, who's the incident commander in this one?
Your brain goes in a different direction.
Yes, very much so, very much so.
Okay, any other comments, new business, old business, good of the order,
no
community comments? Any topics of interest?
Oh, actually,
yes?
Real quickly, you had said, and I think it was a year ago, so I don't remember the details. Okay. I have it in my notes.
Yes.
What, in Westland, what is the width that the various trucks need to be able to get down the street? I'm in Cherokee Court, and we're okay.
Yeah.
But the street behind me is Robin View, and there's four new houses there.
Yeah.
And then it goes down and makes a real sharp curve down by the river, mm-hmm. down and goes back up to Calaroga. Those new houses each have two or three cars, and nobody's using their garage, and some are parking right on the street.
Yeah.
And if their neighbors across the street have a guest, there is literally this much room. Mm-hmm. A sedan couldn't even get through.
Yeah.
So is there a rule of which side they're going to have to park on? Do we have to request to get a sign posted to only park on this side of the street? Because I'm thinking, if somebody down there, my friend's down there, and she's in a wheelchair, and the fire truck couldn't get through,
yeah.
it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a similar request coming through Stafford Road. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's off of Weatherhill, off of Salama, where they had a similar situation. So the two things that we found out from that, or learned, was first, if they are impeding, like if they're not actually parked up on the curb and they're impeding traffic from getting by, that's something you've got to report to Westland PD. If we're in an emergency situation, we can take care of that, and essentially get a car out of the way. But
push
something,
it
maybe.
You left it there to take care of it.
It's kind of like when somebody asks, on a medical emergency, if you can't find my Haida key, what do? Well, I might have to buy you a new door afterwards. So that's the first step, is making sure that enforcement is happening when people aren't parking correctly. The second one is on some of the roads, at least when they're surveyed and they go through that planning process and the commission, they have to adhere to certain standards. And I'm not sure what that's one, but Stater had. And then I know finally the Transportation Advisory Committee, I'm trying to remember, mm-hmm. did I get that correct?
Yep.
They were looking at parking as far as long term, because as it stands right now, it seemed to be clear that parking was allowed on both sides, and they wanted to take under consideration whether that should be changed.
So Satter was supposed to be no street parking. The signs were reputedly put up, but those that took pictures of the street from before the houses were on the street found no pictures with signs in it. And the Planning Commission said, well, it was supposed to be no parking on the street at all, so the street is 24 feet wide and really needs to be 32 feet wide if you're going to have parking on both sides, and 28 feet if you're going to have parking on one side. And none of that is enforced, and I would love to see our committee come out with another declaration like we did for the ADA compliance along Pimlico, and come out with one that says we would support a citywide adoption of a 32-foot wide road for all future improvements or new development. Well, I think that would get rid of all these issues, because then the truck can get through under any circumstance.
Road, this road was mid-1950s.
Understood.
And then they not only put a sidewalk in, but they put a swale.
But the city just took money.
And trees.
The city just got money from the developers that put the four new houses that you just referenced.
Yeah.
So they got development money for the four new houses. Some of that money could have been used to mitigate the roadway there and have it be. So it's for new construction or for revision, because backfill, infill, is what the city is going to be doing for the rest of its going forward, unless Stafford opens up and then all the developers will run to Stafford.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they're going to do infill. And so every time they do infill, look what they did to Rosemont. They did infill, 52 houses, and they narrowed Rosemont down. Makes no sense to me at all.
But at least fire trucks can get through up there.
They can get through, because Rosemont began as a bigger street. But I think that's something that, you know, this committee could deliberate in the future, maybe have a planning commission representative or what's the name of the committee?
We've had some discussions with the Transportation.
Yeah. Transportation Committee.
Well, that's one of those things that we're working on.
We're working on,
A dialogue with them.
We really need that.
We've had some communication back and forth, and I think the ball's in our part now.
We're going
to
invite Lance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to invite Lance to our meeting. So that when people bring, because that's the thing, we feel like we're ping-ponging sometimes people that bring concerns, And we really need a protocol since there is that group also. Yeah. But sometimes our interests overlap when it comes to the safety aspects of things. So.
I think it was March that the Planning Commission and the Traffic Advisory Committee met together in an effort to try and...
Which group?
The Traffic Advisory Committee and the Planning Commission.
Oh, and the Planning.
Had a joint meeting together.
Yeah.
And there was a presentation that Lance did and a consultant. Sorry, it was a little while ago.
Yeah.
But just, I can't remember, it's posted online. To talk a little bit about, they did an in-depth look at street lights.
So if I go out with a tape measure to see how narrow Robin View is, and then this new swale and sidewalk and all the cars parking, the width is supposed to be a minimum of how many inches?
No,
well, it depends
feet.
On what parking is allowed, but I want to say that one's 24 per the current, and then that gets to the TSP, which is the Transportation Master Plan.
I don't want to take off
for your neighbors
and say hi, by the way.
24 is no parking on the street.
So, oh, okay.
You know, 28 is parking on one side. 32 is parking on both.
Got it.
Not safe for fire trucks need to get through. I mean, I know you got to use diplomacy with this kind of thing, but what's the right thing to say?
As I understand, I mean, that the developer on that street would have had to follow the master plan for the city.
He doesn't follow the plans for anything.
The developer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I imagine to get his permits through, he would have had to. And therefore, that would set what parking was allowed on there. And if that was done, and people are parking in a way that's impeding any traffic, then yes, that's something they need to be.
Every rule, paid a million fines, broke gas lines twice, water lines twice.
Yeah. It's cheaper to pay the fines.
He pays fines.
It's cheaper to pay the fines.
Okay, we won't go there right now, but
Well, outside of a joint meeting with transportation, any other topics for future consideration or discussion? We've had incident command.
One of the things this committee has been challenged by is communicating its initiatives and getting the information out. And we've talked about various methods we would go into to do that. One of the things that came up in the discussion at Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association was putting communication bulletin boards in the parks in the city. And the example I gave is what's down at Mary S. Young Park, which is a community notification board. And for instance, up there is a solve schedule of when they're going to have solve events. So anybody using that park doesn't have to go to solve, doesn't need to be called by solve. They can just say, I love Mary S. Young Park, and hey, solve's going to be here next Saturday. I'm going to come out for that and help with solve. So that was one of the ideas I threw out to the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association, is maybe those parks inside of that neighborhood association, we could use some of the money they've saved up to create those community communication boards, just 2x4s and some pegboard, and maybe these announcements about we're having a meeting coming up, or here's what we're going to be doing in the future, or hey, teens, if you're a driver and you want to get better at it, here's the teen driver safety courses coming up in the next 12 months. Mm. And that might be a place to post that information. So hopefully we can get that word out to more neighborhood associations and get that kind of a distributed way of getting, because people don't necessarily, you have to actively go after a website to get info. Mm-hmm. But if they're passively walking through a park and they see that info in their face, that might be another way to get information out.
And Amy, wasn't Amy going to talk to look into the next door?
Yeah, she was looking into ways to connect to people with social media.
Yeah, social media, definitely.
Yeah.
It's got to be done that way.
Yeah.
She's working on it. We're handicapped in that from a variety of standpoints.
Okay,
The issues of liability as well as technical. It's going to be the best way to get the data, the information pushed out via social media that
I'm going to make up a new sign, run it past you guys first, and put it up on the... As you walk into the public library, there's a huge bulletin board right there. And my eye goes to it all the time, and I read things on there. And it just catches my eye. I think that'd be a great place to just have a bulleted, very quick, get your attention. Are you interested in, you know, the teen driving safety, the... you know, Map Your Neighborhood program, and just stuff like that, that just goes, and here's the contact. That might get hundreds of people a week that would maybe look at it.
Right. It's a trafficked area, like our parks are a trafficked area.
Yeah. So I'm going to work on some kind of a little graphic.
Okay. Anything else? Well, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody object? Okay. Find the off button and we can talk.